Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Very well, Andrew. Thank you. I am missing your tropical background. What happened?
Well, I'm happy to do this, not from the phone this time. So let's dive in and kind of recap this past week. The price action, obviously economic data, any political stuff, market reactions. What really stood out for you?
So what stood out for me is the contrast between the Michigan consumer survey we just got this morning and the labor market data. And I tend to trust the Michigan survey a little bit more, even though the labor market data was nice because it moved market pricing of the Fed in my direction. But I actually think the pessimism was there was a bit of an overreaction to the data. So what we got was a jump in initial claims, but that data is very, very volatile. We were at the bottom of the range, so we're just rebounding, and continuing claims, as you know, doesn't mean much because it doesn't. They are falling because unemployment duration is increasing. And people are losing their benefits. So there wasn't much there. Then there was a big decline in job openings. But
Right.
again, you need to put it in context. We are in a low hire, no fire economy, which means that the flows, the labor market flows are really small. And so what we need to look at are ratios, so people look at hiring rate, firing rate, quit rates. I think what you need to look at is a net hiring rate. That was unchanged, but no question the trend has been down for the past 6 months. So maybe a bit of an overreaction there as well. And then we got an unexpected surprise in the Michigan consumer survey. And they are, thanks to the government shutdown and the lack of data, I've been looking at alternative sources of data and taking a closer look at that survey. And there are a couple of indicators that are actually quite good proxies for hard data. So to give you an example, one indicator is consumer expectations of unemployment. And it's been super reliable as a lead indicator of actual unemployment. And it's been at recession level for the past 6 months, but it's been improving. It's been falling. Another one is consumers' view on whether it's a good time to buy durables. And this one is a good indicator of turning points in consumption, and it's a bit weak, but it's been improving for the past 6 months. I could go on and on and on, but the bottom line is this was an unexpectedly good survey by contrast to the labor data, and I kind of trust that survey a bit more than the labor market data because things that happen in goods market tend to lead things that happen in labor market. Labor market wages, for instance, are just more slowly than wages. So I found that survey a bit more forward looking. So it suggests improvement. And so maybe the market was a bit over pessimistic in its reaction. Of course, you had a backdrop of the AI stories,
Right, there's other,
software
yeah.
stocks, basically. But again, you could give a positive spin, the story about creative destruction. This is what capitalism is about. Old industry dies, new industries are born and push out the old guard. And maybe that's what we saw this week.
I think one of the things there might have been software stocks or businesses in that ecosystem have a decent amount of kind of credit borrowing, certainly I guess on the kind of lower end, and people are worried about that having an impact, I guess on like private equity or maybe even the banks, and
Yeah, for sure. From a market perspective, this is probably more important than from an economic perspective.
Okay, cool. Anything else about like how the markets reacted this past week to seems very fickle. It's like every day is changing one way or the other. I kind of feel like we may be now past like passing this volatility and go back into kind of a very positive environment for risk. And the market may have been waiting around and nervous about all the hyperscaler earnings. Not that stocks are doing, those stocks are not doing particularly well today, but I think, and we've seen this before where the market didn't trade great, during this, during the tech earnings season. And then after, it's like, okay, well, these are the companies that are growing and these are been the market leaders for a long time. And probably we'll take that position again and be positive, I think, for risk overall. But and that's
Yeah,
just
I mean, certainly my views on growth that we could be troughing because we have a recovery in the number of workers and consumers, or at least stabilization, and continued disinflation. That's an environment that's very positive for risk. So perhaps it's a good time
yeah.
to discuss what's coming then
Perfect. Let's do
next
it.
week.
Yeah.
So the big thing, of course, is NFP
Yeah.
on Wednesday. Sam will be putting out his super duper model a couple of days before. But the market expects a recovery to about 70K. Which is a big recovery. So even with a downside surprise, this would still be stabilization. So there is also the annual benchmark adjustment of NFP, because of the weird BLS birth death model, which actually has accounted for much of NFP growth over the past year. So there's an exhaustive count every year based on unemployment insurance records. So the bottom line here is that we are likely to see employment growth last year lowered by 900,000. So all priced in. The Fed also has a 500 PhD economist running the numbers, so they're probably not going to be surprised either because they are quite good at those things. What's going to be really important in this data is indicators of balance between labor supply and labor demand, because that's what is moving the Fed at the moment. And also long term, that's what's driving inflation. And there's a consensus assumes no change in the unemployment rate and no change in wage growth. So a bit of a stasis, really. So in terms of Fed, in terms of growth, if we get something, even if it is only 50 instead of 70K, it's still a sign that labor supply could be stabilizing, and so we could have a bit of a bump to growth there.
The last few, is it the last few Januaries that we've had like really big numbers? Is that a seasonality thing or like
So
it, they'll
that's
catch that any, yeah.
definitely tricky. January will get seasonality, same with the CPI. So again, we need to I will put out in real time all my charts. We'll have an array of numbers, and yes, residual seasonality is always an issue.
One question, while well, first, any other big data points next week?
Sure.
That's a big one, yeah.
The CPI, so consensus expects core at 0.3 month on month, but there again, perhaps even more so than for NFP, we'll have issues about residual seasonality, and the Fed cares about core PC, not core CPI, so we'll have to look at the details. But I expect this to be a, you know, a benign print. Magellan inflation are very benign based on the wage growth slowdowns that we've been seeing. So that's the other big data point. We have retail sales, but these are stale retail sales because we're still getting over the shutdown. So these are December retail sales. We will get the January retail sales next week. So that's about it.
So two questions. What do you give the likelihood, I guess, of the Fed cutting in the next two meetings?
So that really depends on unemployment. Maybe
Okay.
I'm still expecting three cuts this
This
year,
year. Yeah.
driven either by unemployment or by inflation. If they are driven by inflation, given what Powell told us that mid-year, this is when the tariffs will have peaked, that's probably when the cuts start happening.
Fine.
And I think there is a serious risk, by the way, that the Fed could undershoot its inflation target. Because if you look at wage growth relative to productivity growth, it's too low. And so there is a risk that, you know, the collapse in labor costs that we have seen could continue and drag down.
Yeah. Is this the Greens I was reading about? Is this the Greenspan this theory of from the 90s? About a huge productivity boom. Yeah, I didn't realize that Yellen had supported it, apparently.
Yellen was a very
Yeah.
fine economist. I mean,
Yeah.
there's no question about it. So if this is inflation driven, it's going
Yeah.
to happen probably in the second half. If it is unemployment driven, it's going to be driven by sharp increases. I mean, let's be real, but when I
Yeah.
say sharp, I'm talking about, say, 20 basis point over two
Right,
meetings.
yeah. Which I don't, yeah.
So not
I'm more on the inflation. I'm with you more like that, potentially the inflation surprises to the downside. And this I last one. So Warsh talking about, or the talk that maybe he could try and shrink the Fed's balance sheet while cutting rates.
So I wrote about this with the pictures, data, and all. But the bottom line is, if you shrink the balance sheet right now, you're going to crash the repo market, the
Okay.
treasury market, and the world economy. So can't happen. You want to do that, you have to be very gradual because we've been building the balance sheet over 18 years. It's not going to turn around in 6 months. And most importantly, you need to change the incentives faced by the banks. Right now,
Right.
the Fed sets interest rate in such a way that if banks hold excess reserves, they get paid for it. So no wonder they love them. They don't want to let go of them. So you need to tweak the interest structure and bring the deposit rate, so the interest on reserve, a tad below the Fed funds rate, so that if banks hold reserves, actually it costs them money. And that's when you'll be able to shrink the
Okay,
balance sheet.
that would add an extra push into the economy.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
I mean
Yeah.
that because right now banks love reserves. I mean, there is a paper that was presented at Jackson Hole in 2022 by Raghuram Rajan,
Yeah.
ex-governor of the Reserve Bank of India, very highly respected professor of finance, making the point that banks are taking too much risk, both with their funding and their business model, because they have this fantastic asset, the safest you can find, and it's paying above market rate. I mean, what's not to like? So you got to change that.
Right. Okay, awesome. Anything else this week?
That's about it.
Okay. Well, this was great. I'm happy we got it done. And yeah, have a wishing everyone, a very successful time in the markets and a lovely weekend. And Dominique, of course, for you, have a wonderful weekend as well.
Thank you. Likewise, Andrew.